And welcome to another Detailed Drummer. With us today, we have Camille Bijou, and she is an amazing drummer. She releases content on social media. So if you want to know more about her, you can check her website and you can check her social media. So you'll learn more about what she does. I wanted to ask you, first of all, are you all right? Is everything okay?
Thank you for having me. First, and yeah, I'm all right. Everything's fine. And you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. How have you been like working during these times of lockdown? Have you find it that you are finding new stuff to do? Are you reinventing yourself? Are you doing exactly the same stuff that you were doing before? What's going on?
Yeah, so now it's been a year, and I remember last year in March, as we were locked down for the first time, I didn't have access to my drums because they were in some public spots that were closed. That was closed, obviously, to the public. So I found myself during 2 months without drums. So yeah, I had to think about some stuff to do, not to lose, you know, the technique, and just finding some way to canalize myself, like all the stuff I can put on the drums that makes me feel good. I couldn't put it as well, so I had to find some ways to for my personal health, because it's really good for health, as you
stress
know.
Release.
So I only had my pad, and it was a good occasion to find the links I could have had with the pad again, because it has been a lot of years that I haven't been practicing any pad. So I had my pad, and I took this time to work a lot of technique. And I don't know if you know the Tommy Igoe's advanced lifetime warm-up.
I have heard of it, never did it, but I have heard of it.
Yeah, at high tempos, it's really, really challenging. And I wanted to achieve that for a long time, and I couldn't find any time to do it and occasion, you know. So I did that, and I challenged also other people and my followers to do it also. So it was fun, and yeah, I could improve some speed, some technique with the purely the hands and the wrists. So it was cool for that. And I was already at this time thinking about writing a drum method and practicing pad again made me think about pedagogical sites I wouldn't have think about maybe if I hadn't, I wouldn't have practiced the pad again. So I digged into the writing of this drums methods thanks to that period, and thanks to, you know, the pad. So yeah, I'm still writing this drums method, and I have a lot of time to do it, and it's really good because it needs a lot of time, and I think I couldn't have done it properly and took the time, really the proper time to do it, if it wasn't for COVID and all the time it allows us to do other things that we usually do. So it's really good from this perspective. And I also took some time to compose stuff, compose songs, and record a song in the proper studio conditions. So that's a very cool experience, but it also requires time to compose and to, you know, work on the mix of the songs and stuff. So you know, it's really weird period, and it's it can makes you feel like weird or uncomfortable from the perspective of not being able to project yourself in the future, and not being able to know what you will be able to do in the future and when, you know. But in another perspective, it really gives us time for writing and composing. I really appreciate it, because yeah, we need it, and we need those periods of times to do it.
You play other instruments then?
Yeah, I play some rhythmic guitar, but it's only rhythmic, because I couldn't play solos or stuff. And yeah, I have some basics of harmony or piano and stuff. And yeah, I've always been composing my own songs and own stuff since, you know, the beginning, like 15 years old or something. And my parents are musicians too, and my mother's a percussionist, and I have always been you know, swimming in a musical area. So regarding composition,
so that's why you kind of were leading to it by them.
Yeah, without
pressure,
you know, having Terry stuff. I'm okay to do it, because I, you know, have some like every musician's, I guess, but I have some stuff coming, like some ideas, some melodical ideas or harmonical change and stuff. So I have always been doing that. Yeah, it really requires time to do this. But I was also lucky, because since December, around December, I have actually some new projects with which we do rehearsals. We do call it residences in France. I don't know if I think it's the same name in English, but when you
have a spot on a restaurant or some place every week.
Exactly. And you spend several days to rehearse songs and a repertoire, and you know the ways you can go from one song to another, and the lighting and the sound stuff. So with those new three bands, we have been doing this. So, you know, I have met a lot of new people, and given the circumstances, I really couldn't believe it.
It's a blessing to get to know people now, apart from like this type of getting to know, I'm saying like personal, to be with someone new now. It's like for a year, when you met someone personally that it's new to you, I can count maybe one person I met.
Yeah. It was really unexpected for me in those conditions and COVID periods. You know, like, okay, I actually met maybe more people than usually. So it was really, really cool. And we did some live stream gigs also. So yeah, it's really nothing compares to real
live stuff.
I think nothing could ever replace it.
I'm really hoping for things to open, so you have that first gig. I think it's gonna be magical. You know, like everyone, like people that are listening to you, they're gonna be excited because they are and you're going to be excited because you're playing. So I think it's going to be so intense, you know, for all the musicians and all the artists, like when we actually go out and play for people again. It's going to be like so strange, but also so cool at the same time.
It will be, I think, a rush for even the public, the crowds and the musicians. There will be, I think, when it will be possible again, so many gigs at the same time and so many people wanting to go at these gigs because, you know, they can't deal with it anymore, and they really need really vibes exchange and real music, and it would be, I think, a real rush and would be amazing. So I can't wait to
be there.
I was really lucky, and in the same time I could really take this time to write a lot of stuff, and also I had the opportunity to change the studio, the place where I'm working the drums, because as I said, the public studio where I was beforehand closed and stayed closed like for months. So as soon as we got a little more free, I managed to find another studio that was private, so I could really, you know, play drums whenever I wanted, because it was a private place I rented every month. So I found this new place, and you know, it's really a better place for me because I can have a proper mix set, and I can let my mix on place, which I couldn't do on the other place because it was public, and I could let my drums, you know, people could use it, but I couldn't take the risk to
I'm really jealous with my drums. Like I'm not like, it's not that I don't like to lend my stuff, but my drum, you know, I wouldn't leave it there so people could use it.
Yeah, but...
You have a good heart, though. You have a good heart.
You know,
I wouldn't do it.
People were aware that it was personal stuff, so they cared about it. And I didn't have so many problems. It was okay. But yeah, it's so much cooler, like to have your stuff just for yourself, and you don't have to change the settings all the time, and
it's way more productive. You get there, you start to work straight away.
I was okay with that because I thought it was the only deal I could have, and it was okay for me because it was really cheap comparing to other studios. Like it was €3 for 1 hour, so really cheap.
That's not bad.
It was cool for me, but you know, I'm really glad COVID happened for that, because I think I wouldn't have the idea occurred to just try to find a new place and a more fitting place for me. Mm-hmm. And I had to do it due to COVID. And now I'm really, really happier with the new place I have. And I could, you know, buy some mix, and now I have a proper mix setting, and I have the lights, and I can do some better stuff than before. So it changed a lot of things this way. So it was really, you know, from putting everything in a new perspective and having more time to do stuff, it really improved a lot of things in a way. But we are really looking forward to the real gigs and for life to happen like before, because despite of that, you know, you can sense that mental health of people is really decreasing, and we need some concrete stuff to rely to, and some future perspective to feel like we are working drums or working a song or something for a purpose and a goal, you know. So very important, and we don't have that anymore, so it's missing, really.
Yeah, completely get that. You need like some kind of hope in the future that everything's going to be all right. But I think as creatives, we have kind of the duty, let's say, like doctors, they're saving lives, we have to save minds, you know what I mean? Like,
you're right.
People,
you're absolutely right,
need to listen. Yeah, to because stuff.
We have the luck to, you know, really be passionate about what we do, and that already lifts us up, and we have to take this to try to lift up other people as well, even if we ourselves need to be confronted to those people and to share with them everything in real, like not only on
like
video,
social media style.
No, yeah, we really have to share real vibes with the same space. But yeah, we have the chance to, we are lucky enough to be lifted by music already. So yeah, we have to take all chances to share the music and to share hope and inspire people the best ways we can, and also, and more particularly, as you said, during this time. You're right. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you something. So I wanted you to think about maybe two moments on your career, like throughout your whole career, you know, since you started to play. And I'm going to ask like a good moment and a bad moment. But when I say like a good moment, doesn't mean like the gig, the most important gig you had. I mean like the place where you felt better, you know, like something that you till today, you remember that gig because of that, you know, because it made you still remember. And then I want something that made you remember it for the bad reasons.
Yeah, I got it.
Go for it.
I have it in my mind right now.
I knew. You always have. You have the bad one and the good one always, like on the side and the other.
Yeah. So do you want me to tell about these moments?
Yeah. Go for it.
So the good moments. One of the best moments I can remember is where I was performing a gig with my band called PV Nova and the Internet Orchestra. That's basically a band that has been created because of thanks to PV Nova, that is a YouTuber. Basically, so he does a lot of music videos, but explaining how to concretely make music and you know, do some songs in a certain styles of music, but also a lot of other things, but always relatively to music. And during his YouTuber career, he released 3 albums, but he never got the chance to play them on stage with real musicians. So he did a giant casting and audition through internet, and had the chance to be part of the final band, you know. So we did some gigs, and it's amazing because we are 9 on stage. 9, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And basically a big, you know, dancing, funk, rock, party. Everyone is having a really cool moment, and it's really amazing. I really love the vibes of the music and the bands and everything that's happening between the musicians, between themselves and between the audience. So we were performing a gig. It was last year, actually in February, I think, in Bordeaux. I think you can find a little part of the
On YouTube.
solo I did on my YouTube channel. And it was amazing because it was very, very chill, and you know, we had no pressure at all. We just had fun, and it
That's
was,
the best.
yeah, it's the best. And we would give a lot to live this kind of moments again. And I remember this solo also particularly because I got the audience participating at my solo for the first time.
Oh,
Like
that's
I had
cool.
the clapping on the beats, and I just let them clapping, and then I entered a groove, but that found itself being not on the beats, but you know, on the half beats. And
Okay.
I just waited
Your
for their
mathematical
reaction,
stuff.
like, will they keep their beats, or will they just change and clap on my own beat? So it was really funny, and yeah, we it was a really sharing moment and fun moment, and I really remember it each time I have to do a solo. So yeah, it was really no pressure, and only laugh and fun and funk and dance and happy moments. Was amazing. And for the bad part,
And now it gets worse.
yeah. So I was doing a solo clinic, and it was at the UK drum show. And I don't really know for what reasons, but I didn't feel very fit this day. And I was playing at a hard time also, like noon. Noon is not a really cool time to play for me. So I had also a lot of pressure from the inside, the outside, sorry, but also from the inside, because I was expecting a lot from myself, and there was this huge how do we say, the drummers that were scheduled at this UK drum show. It was just amazing. There was Chris Coleman, Marco Minman, Mark Garska, Ray Luthier, and a lot of amazing drummers. So no, I felt like, hey, gonna play next
You're
to
like, I'm with the big
all
boys.
these amazing drummers, and I really have to be how would say, legitimate, you know, I feel legitimate. So I wouldn't allow me any mistake. And Mino was filming, Vic Firth was filming, and you know, all this pressure, like when you have a moment that is craved on the on someone, on the support, you know, on someone, on the support, like video or audio stuff, and you don't you are not allowed any mistake because you know
I'm feeling anxious just to listen to
people
it,
will
you know what I mean?
remember. It creates a pressure on me that makes me not being in the music, you know. I'm not in the music, I'm not into it, I'm just outside watching me, like, will I do any mistake? Will I, you know, yeah. So it's a problem I think we all encounter
yeah, true.
At some point.
The pressure is so much that you can't even enjoy what you are actually doing. So I guess it gets to a point that if you're playing and you're not feeling what you're playing, you'll never have, first, you will never have the same results that you have if you imagine if you were in your studio by yourself. You know what I mean? Because there's all the pressure. But especially because everyone in there knows what you're doing. You know, if you go something wrong, they click it straight away. It's not like you're in a normal gig and you can fail like a kick and no one
really. Yeah, you know, even in a normal masterclass, normal, without pressure, without cameras, without expectations from my friends who support me and this kind of stuff, it goes well. I really have fun. I share with the people and I don't care about all this. But as soon as it's recorded or it's important, people expect from you good things and stuff. There's a switch in my mind that makes me not enjoy it and be at my best paradoxically at all. So I felt it also in my body, you know. I really felt lethargical, like really weak. Yeah. My body was weak and I wasn't really
like also, you know what, like, you mean? I had a gig,
you know,
like
you messed up because you're so like full of stress and like shaking and this kind of stuff. So it was not a very good memory for me, and I'm trying to find, you know, concrete stuff in order for that to not happen again, because it's really not good to live. And it's really a switch happening in your mind.
Yeah, it's know how to put yourself in the right mindset again. Yeah, at the time, just gets to that time and you're like, know how to control it.
I think there's concrete methods to work on this mindset, but I have not figured that out completely yet, but I'm working on it. So, you know, that's my kind of struggle. I can really have fun and maybe play some complicated things and inspiring things, and that's my goal. But in the other side, when I know a lot of things are expected of me, I have this switch and I have to work on this, because it's my bad side, and it's difficult to figure it out. So yeah.
Still working in progress, like all of us.
Yeah, I think it's maybe a lifetime work to do, and maybe the more events like this you experiment,
I guess, like if you have more like that,
you are self-trust, and the more you're okay, it's okay. I've done it.
How did it went, by the way? Like the gig. Do you think, even though you were like having all that pressure and feeling like that way, when you see it, do you think like it's good, or you think like
no, I really hear all the mistakes. Yes,
really?
Not happy with my performance. Yeah,
because that could make you like, imagine if you could feel all that inside, you know. But sometimes you're playing something and you don't realize how it sounds. You know what I mean? Like just when
sometimes
you listen to it, you're like, "Oh, this is actually all right." You know what I mean? And that could maybe help you in another situation, like to think, "Okay, I had this kind of stress before." And it worked out, or it didn't, you know. So once you start to understand like how you deal in that spot, and now you have like proof of it, now I think you can, you know, work on it better, because you know what's the effect. So next time, I think you're going to be way more confident and way more chill, you know, like, because Maybe you still have pressure because it's on those kind of stages. It's always pressure, no matter who you are, I guess. But, you know, at least you know how to deal with that in another way. And it's really cool you bring that type of thinking out, because that's what I'm looking for in this kind of interviews. You know, it's to show new drummers and drummers that are having a professional starting their careers or during their careers to understand that every drummer in every level has those types of thinkings. It's normal. It's not like you shouldn't feel less or than anyone else, because all of us, we all have that.
We all struggle at some stuff at some point.
At some point.
Never perfect, but we can always rely on the good stuff. And
it makes you improve as well. As you were saying, it makes you improve, because as you were saying, you want to change that in you. You know, you want to upgrade yourself. So even though you realize something it's wrong, not wrong, but something can be better, that makes you be a better musician and a better person and a better human being, you know, at the end of the day. So I think, like, realizing what you're bad, sometimes it's good to make you better, you know, like to make you improve.
But also realizing what you're good at and use it.
Exactly. Yeah. Not just the bad side, always the good side as well.
Yeah. Use what you're good to, you know, make your own stuff on the drums come out. You know, it's about everything has something unique to bring on the instrument and to share and to inspire other people. So don't focus only on the bad stuff, but especially on the good stuff, because that's what will lift you up, you know.
True. Yeah. Amazing. I'm not going to take more of your time. If you like this video and if you like this kind of interviews, please subscribe to the channel and have a like. Also, go to the website and go to Camille's social media and to her website as well, so you know what she's up to, and to listen to the new song, because I really want to listen to it now. I hope you had fun.
Thank you a lot. Time. It was amazing. Thank you. It was a very cool time.
Yes.